This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So, you ready to talk about some wrestling, Aaron?
I believe so.
We haven't talked wrestling quite a bit here, I feel like.
Yeah. It's just been weird scheduling, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, here we are. We're sitting down, and we're talking about the old wrestling. So, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, maybe we could start off with last night.
Okay.
A little bit of something that happened.
All right. So here's my opinion on the Raw 25th anniversary. I'm assuming you watched the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
I felt like there was too many talking segments, more than normal, and not enough actual wrestling segments. And then when we did get a wrestling segment, we got a couple of long matches. Like the women's match was like 15 minutes, and it was okay. I would have rather seen a 2-minute women's match and then see the Revival and Gallows and Anderson go 15 minutes.
You mean instead of going like
2 minutes? I think they went like a minute 50 second. Yeah, I would have rather seen a 15 minute classic awesome tag team match than the
yeah.
So, but what'd you take? I don't want to break the whole thing down segment by segment because I don't. But I did like Austin coming out and stunning everyone.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he didn't get on the mic at all.
Yeah, did you see the backstage thing they did, like for the Raw, whatever it is? The
no, I don't think so.
Oh, if you go on YouTube and you look it up, Mike Rome stops to talk to Austin, and he only has one question for him. And apparently, Austin is very insulted by the fact he only had one question for him, and he rips into him, and it's classic Stone Cold, and it's hilarious. So you need to go check that out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. But yeah, I was surprised as well. But I mean, really, he doesn't need to say anything. Just go out there, kick a guy in the gut, drop him on his chin, drink some beer, do it again, and, you know, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it would have been nice.
I did like Vince throwing Shane under the bus.
Yeah.
You know, but Shane's in his prime, and Shane look on his face like, what? You know, like
there's a clip going around of when Vince and Austin have their hands raised.
Yeah.
How Vince pours beer.
Yes, I saw that. I thought that was hilarious. I was watching it. I watched him do it. Pours beer out on Shane. I thought that was awesome little rib by Vince.
Yeah, I didn't notice it live.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, I forget where I was reading, you know, like one of those little highlights of the night, and that was one of the gifs that they kept playing.
Nice. Yeah, what did you take away from last night, the 25th anniversary of Raw?
What I took away from last night is I'm very glad I did not pay to go to the Manhattan Center.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of negativity about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was nothing. Everything was at the Barclays Center.
They got Bray Wyatt against Matt Hardy.
In a 2-minute match.
Yep.
They got the Revival and Gallows and Anderson in a 2-minute match. Yeah. You had the Undertaker come out and talk. I don't even know what the heck he was
thinking. I don't know what his promo was. Like, I feel like he was going to announce his retirement and then decided not to.
Yeah.
You know? That's the only thing I can think of there.
Yeah. Honestly, I got no idea. And you had DX came out.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. But did you notice, like, when they were showing it on TV during the entrance, I didn't even realize that Shawn Michaels was there until the lights came on. And he was like, he passed in front of the camera.
Oh, I saw him come out straight away.
You know what? Because, I mean, that they basically just stayed on Triple H the entire
time. Yeah, I know when they came out, Michaels came out first, and then Triple H came out, so it was pretty quick. But I did notice that. And then in the ring, yeah, Michaels is just running in circles.
Yeah.
And then they bring out Scott Hall and immediately go to commercial. Yeah, because that's what I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre. Like, they kept hyping it up as this huge thing. And it's like, it had so much potential, but it didn't.
Dude, when The Undertaker came out, they used a recording of the Fink announcing The Undertaker. He wasn't even there.
I thought he was supposed to be there.
No, according to what I read online, like some of the people that were there, the Fink wasn't even there. Unless he did it from backstage, no one could see him.
I doubt it.
You know, I mean, I get the nostalgia. Like, I love it when they do the retro Raws, and they do, you know, they have the ring set up with the, like, you know, they had the old ring post, the red, white, and blue ropes, the old style logo on the turnbuckle pads, covers.
I like they had the refs in the
old button up blue shirts and bow ties. I thought that, like, Mike Chioda came out, I thought that was fantastic, you know. And yeah, okay, so they gave a couple, like, you know, 2-minute dark matches with some cruiserweight guys at the Manhattan Center as well, and then, you know, Ric Flair and Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan and The Miz all showed up, you know, in dark segments and this and that. But someone had posted, did they do this because it was originally scheduled to be that way, or did they do this because the fans were chanting bullshit and Barclay sucks and on and on and on?
Yeah, but they're not going to – how are they going to know what the fans are going to chant before they plan the show?
Well, they could have had – well, it was all after the show went off the air, so they could have sent them all over.
Oh, that's
because it's a 3-hour show, and in the first 2 hours when the fans are at the Manhattan Center chanting "this sucks" and bullshit, you know. So I was surprised Lita wasn't on there last night, but apparently she tweeted that she was not invited.
Yeah, which is weird because she does – well, yeah. I mean, she hasn't, but she was doing
She was doing a lot of stuff for him, yeah. Hulk Hogan tweeted that, you know, he wasn't invited.
So. Well, I mean, Hogan kind of had some issues.
I get it.
I get that.
I get that, too. But, I mean, all in all, I mean, here's one thing that kind of, not bothers me, but I always question this. Like, before Raw, even, like, we've had 25 years of Raw. We've had, what, almost 20 years of SmackDown or something like that. When SmackDown start? 97, 98,
yeah,
around 90s. That time frame. Okay. So, like, I get they celebrate those shows, right? But one thing I don't understand is how come WWE never brings up the fact that, you know, they've been on the USA Network 8 years longer than Raw's been around. Like, Primetime Wrestling ran for 8 years on the USA Network, most of the time on Monday nights before Raw even came around. So I don't understand why they don't celebrate, you know, their 33-year history of being on the USA Network.
Well, they did leave the USA
Yes, Network. They left for a couple of years, but that's, you know, they'll just rewrite that history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, I mean, like, I think the fact that they've been on USA Network on Monday nights for the most part, you know, for... since 1985 is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
But they never tack that onto the Raw history, which surprises me. You know?
Yeah.
See what else. Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised to say this. I did enjoy the Elias sing-along last night on Raw.
You know what? I still can't decide about him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't mind him.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find him amusing.
Yeah.
What kills me is his guitar is always slightly out of tune.
Maybe that's on purpose, but he seems to know how to play it at least a little bit.
But yeah, which is what drives me absolutely insane.
Maybe that's part of being a heel. Maybe he does it on purpose.
I mean, it could
as part
be.
Of his gimmick for being a heel, like an almost Andy Kaufman-esque type joke where he's in on it. And no one else is, but that's enough for him because it makes him laugh, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
But I enjoyed his song, and then, you know, of course he got interrupted because he always gets interrupted.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that when he hit John Cena with his guitar, it didn't shatter into a million pieces like yeah. like we're used to seeing, because, you know, with Jeff Jarrett the last 15 years or whatever. I like the fact that it broke, but like the strings held it together still, and it
The difference is that's like an actual playable guitar and not a gimmicked prop.
Yeah, but I'm surprised they didn't, like, when he gave, you know, he had to go outside the ring to grab a guitar. I'm surprised he didn't grab a gimmicked one at that point. Like, you know, they swap out guitars on him. Like, I remember back several years ago at what was it? It wasn't Roar. It wasn't. It must have been the Royal Rumble match that Triple H and Cactus Jack had, where like Triple H took the barbed wire board and put it, like, ran it over and hit it underneath the announcer's table so Jack couldn't see it after he had hit Jack with it a couple of times.
Right.
And then Cactus Jack goes out and gets it. When he pulls one out, it's clearly a different board.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the barbed wire is still perfectly neat on the top of the board. It hasn't been pulled away like it was before it was put underneath there. And Triple H isn't going to take a shot to the face with real barbed wire. So, you know, it was the gimmicked one, so they swapped him out. So Triple H was taking the gimmick shot, and, you know, Jack took the real ones, if you will. So that's what I mean by, I'm surprised they didn't swap out for a gimmick guitar. What'd you think of the Miz versus Roman Reigns match?
I'm very pleased with the outcome.
Oh, I'm ecstatic with the outcome. What'd you think of the match itself?
The match itself was okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I like the Miz.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Miz.
Yeah, it's weird. It's real weird that, like, I never thought some guy from the real world would be one of the better performers on the show.
He really is, though. I mean, he's actually really good in the ring. He's pretty phenomenal on the mic.
Yeah, I would say
he's a great heel. Yeah, he really is. Like, he has.
I mean, he definitely gets people angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and his little feud with Daniel Bryan there. And the thing that sucks about it is there's never going to be a payoff. So I wish they would drop it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who it was. I don't know which group I was in when I was reading this, but someone said something along the lines of, like, you know, Shane's going to enter the Royal Rumble this week, and then Daniel Bryan's going to enter right after him and eliminate him, and then it'll lead to Shane versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and I'm just like, that's not happening.
You know what? I don't even want that to happen.
Neither do I. I want Daniel Bryan to leave the WWE in the fall and go do something else. I want him to go to Ring of Honor, and I want him to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that's what I want.
I want to see him on Total Divas or whatever, Total Bellas.
Why are you such an asshole?
You know, when his contract ends, if he does go to, like, Ring of Honor or whatever, I mean, he'd sort of have to keep appearing on that show, right?
Total Bellas?
Yeah, right?
If the show was still a thing, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it is. They just keep recycling it. Or not recycling, renewing it. Although they do recycle.
Did you see the Miz and Maurice are getting their own reality show on the USA Network? Called the Miz and the Misses?
That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, someone mentioned it last night on the Raw when they were talking about the Miz is everywhere now, blah, blah, blah. And so I went and I looked, and sure enough, I don't know when it starts, but yeah, the Miz has a reality show on the USA Network called The Miz and the Misses, which I think that's a kind of, in my opinion, that's a leg up on Total Divas and Total Bellas, because it's, you know, it's USA Network, I think, is a bigger network than E, in my opinion, but that's because I don't watch E at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's also, like, a way better name.
Yeah. I think the name is really, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great title.
I gotta say, I am kind of... The one thing I'm getting annoyed with is... I mean, I've been annoyed with it for a long time. How every time Roman Reigns gets in a fight, it's always got to be, like, these crazy odds, and somehow he holds his own. You know, like, it's completely ludicrous at this point.
Yeah, I kind of can't stand the insurmountable odds that used to be the John Cena thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, last week he fought against the Miztourage, which, okay, they're, you know, lower mid card kind of guys that are not really on his level, but the Miz is out there also. And I mean, he took a beating for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, however long the thing was. And then at the end of the match, he still wins and then no sells the fact that he took a beating.
Yep. No, I'm perfect. Yeah.
And that's... it's like, you know what? I mean, okay, if you're going to lose, you know, I mean, if you're going to come back and win in a ridiculous match like that, at least play it off like, holy crap, I can't believe, you know, I'm still alive.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a lot of positive things to say about Roman Reigns and his skills. I will say this. The one thing I guess I did appreciate with him, not him even, actually, during the whole Raw versus SmackDown thing, I've been meaning to bring this up, so I'm going way off course here, I guess. But okay. When the Shield invaded SmackDown and attacked the New Day, and then the Usos ran down and slid in the ring, and then when they both came up, they were face to face with Roman, and they just stopped and they didn't do anything, and then the other guys attacked the Usos. I did like that bit. I've been meaning to mention that for a while. I thought that was good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're family.
Right.
The familia. So. I don't like Roman Reigns. I don't care about Roman Reigns. I'm glad he lost the title. If he only lost the title so he can go win the Royal Rumble, I'm going to be pissed. If he wins the Royal Rumble, I'm going to be exceptionally pissed off. Because I've been disappointed with the Rumble the last couple years.
Yep.
The one way to piss me off the most this weekend is if a Bella wins the Women's Royal Rumble and Roman Reigns wins the Men's Royal Rumble. That'll be the way to piss me off this weekend. But I think it's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura's year to win the Rumble. Because I think even the WWE sees the dollar signs of Shinsuke Nakamura against AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
See, that is what I'm hoping.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Are we going to talk Rumble now?
No, but go ahead. Okay, might as well go ahead. Just do it. We're there. Okay. There's the natural segue to get away from that Raw 25th anniversary stuff.
I would like to see KO and Sami Zayn win the championship.
See, I don't want to see them win the championship only because I don't want them making it a joint title.
But I think that the two of them as co-champion will be hysterical.
I don't. No, they've ruined the titles too much. I don't want to see that. No, I just don't. I think, yes, you're right. It would be hilarious. Them as co-champions would be absolutely phenomenal. But I don't want to see it.
I think it would be interesting. You know, and I mean, you know, before WrestleMania, they'd lose the belt back.
No, you know, I don't want to see it.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think if it did happen, I think I would be okay with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know. You know I'm right.
I don't think... No. No. I just... Yes, okay. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. Yes, it would be awesome. It would be hilarious. I love the two of them together. The two together on Talk is Jericho last week was hilarious. Have you listened to that yet?
I haven't had a chance yet.
Dude, my face hurt from laughing so hard. It was spectacular. And then I watched the Ride Along last night.
Okay.
And I really enjoy the concept of that show. But the episode was 15 minutes long.
Yeah, that bugs me.
It's a 3-hour drive from Boston, Mass. To White Plains, New York, basically. It's a 3-hour drive. And you have two cars. So you have 6 hours of footage. And we get a 15-minute show? And 2 minutes of it was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens yawning. which was hilarious. I thought they were doing it on purpose as like a rib to pop themselves. But it's like they're just – there's yeah, it's a whole package of them yawning and complaining how tired they are. And the other car, you have Naomi and the Usos.
Oh, yeah.
Jay wasn't driving. Don't worry. But anyways, because you have the whole OUI yes. thing. But anyways. But yeah, so I don't know. You know, it's amazing. You have Jey Uso gets a OUI. Nothing seems to happen to them. Maybe they'll lose the belts tonight. I don't know. I haven't watched the show.
No, they have the pre-show.
Oh no, it was a singles match. That's right. It was one of them against Chad Gable, a singles match tonight.
Correct.
And Roman Reigns, he gets he gets his name dragged through the mud over alleged steroid incident, and he loses the Intercontinental title. But that may have already been in the works. Who knows? I mean, we'll see. And then Enzo Amore gets accused of rape, and he's suspended, and the next day released.
Yeah.
I've heard rumor that he's apparently been under investigation for quite a while, and did not tell the office about it. And that's why he got himself released.
Interesting.
It does look guilty though. First they suspended him, which makes sense until things are worked out and they figure out what's happening. But then they released him. So I wonder what they're going to do with the cruiserweight title.
Well, that's the thing. Like there was no mention at all. Yeah. Of cruiserweight anything last night.
Yeah, and then not tonight either. Well, I'm assuming not tonight. I don't know.
I haven't seen anything.
I mean, we got
205 Live is on tonight.
Yeah. So I wonder if they'll mention something. I'll watch 205 Live for the first time in a long time and see.
Yeah, I would assume they would set something up because he was supposed to have the match at the pay-per-view.
Yep. They definitely got to do something leading into it.
Yeah. But. Maybe they just bring Ricochet in and have him win the belt.
Hey, you know what? I'm 100% okay with that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Ricochet.
Yeah, he's going to start dating Nia Jax on the show.
No.
He's then going to get jealous because she's going to talk to Rich Swann or one of the guys. Wait, is Rich Swann the one that got fired? Who was the one that got fired last because he assaulted his fiance or wife?
Oh, I don't remember now. Rich Swann. Yeah.
It was Rich Swann. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So not him. man, that division is cursed, huh? What the hell? That Neville's all pissed off and basically quits. Aries is like, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then now they have everybody going to jail for being pretty much pieces of crap.
Yeah, that 205 Live ain't working out so well.
Yeah.
It's not working out so well at all. Anyways, sorry.
That's fine. Back to the Rumble.
I want to talk about Enzo Amore just a little bit more.
Okay.
So I had been super annoyed by him, just, just him in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then at they did 205 Live, did a house show. They did a house show tour last weekend, and on Saturday night they were in Lowell, Massachusetts. And so my buddy Mikey went down to Lowell, Mass for the show, and he said, and he got a picture taken with Enzo outside the show. And he said Enzo was awesome, taking pictures with people. He's been wicked nice to kids. I mean, like, I was surprised. And then when it came time, and then my buddy Mikey had did the VIP meet and greet gimmick, and it was, once again, it was Enzo Amore. So I thought that was funny. And Drew Gulak. And he got them, Drew and Enzo, to pose in the catch point pose that the Gulak and company used to do when Gulak was back in Evolve, and he was part of the stable. It was called Catch Point, which was a mat-based wrestling stable, if you will. So it was kind of funny. And he said Enzo was awesome. And so I was like, oh, okay. Well, my buddy Mikey's met the guy, and he was cool to him outside before the show, and he was cool at the VIP thing, and he saw him being cool. You know, maybe I'll cut him some slack the next day. Enzo's been suspended for rape. I was like, geez, some crow. Well, that went downhill fast.
Yeah.
Anyways, probably not the appropriate thing to laugh about. I don't care. Royal Rumble match. So, a 2 out of 3 falls match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos against Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Who's winning that match, in your opinion?
Well, this is the thing.
Yep.
I want Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable are going to win. But it's going to make me very angry that Chad Gable and Justin Jordan didn't win the tag titles as American Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
That they split them up because they wanted to do solo stuff, yet now
they're both tag team
champions other brands.
Yeah, they're both in tag teams. Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? That was awesome. I'm hoping it's going to be Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin as the tag champs on the SmackDown brand.
Yeah.
Well, Raw Tag Team Championship, Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar, against Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. Who's winning that?
You know what? I totally forgot that match was happening.
Yeah.
I do not like Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
I don't want them to win anything. So okay. I'm going to predict. My pick is that Rollins and Jordan will keep the belt. Even though they're playing it up lately as the two of them keep screwing up. So somehow they'll end up costing themselves the belt, but I don't think it's going to happen this week. I think they'll go longer.
You know what my biggest pet peeve about tag team champions are? When it's two guys thrown together and it's not an actual team.
Well, you know what? Sometimes it can work.
I hate that when it's two guys thrown together and it's not an actual team. Especially when they put the belts on a duo who have been feuding with each other just, you know, to cause that awkwardness. And so I would rather see Cesaro Bryan and Sheamus.
Right?
Huh? Daniel Bryan? And they became a team called Team Hell No, and it worked out.
Right, but at first they were just thrown together.
Correct, but do you really think Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan's got, you know...
No, it was supposed to be Ambrose and Rollins that had those belts.
Right.
Ambrose got hurt, so they changed plans.
So the only reason why I want Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan to retain the titles is so they can go on and drop them to the Revival. That's it. And then the Revival can be the dominant as tag team champions and reign for a long time.
Yeah.
I'd be
okay with that.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against AJ Styles in the handicap match for the Raw for the WWE Championship.
I told you before, I have a feeling we're going to have... See, this is the thing that confused me at first.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
A triple threat?
I knew it wasn't a triple threat because they were saying it was a handicap match.
Yeah.
But I assumed that it was going to be whichever one pinned him would win the title.
Yep.
So I thought towards the end of the match you would get, KO and Sami Zayn kind of messing with each other to try and be the one to get the pinfall or submission. But they've been announcing the last 2 days that they would be the co-champions. So I get why
it's appealing. I don't.
Look, I want AJ to win, but I think short term, until he wins the belt back at the next pay-per-view, I think it would be amusing to see co-champions. Just like I want to see a guy win the tag belts.
Just have them be co-champions then for the U.S. title.
But you can't do that because they just had a whole tournament for the U.S. title.
I know, but I just...
Speaking of which, you think Ziggler's coming back in the Rumble?
No. Nope, I don't. I don't. I think he'll be out longer. So. I want AJ Styles to win. Brock Lesnar against Braun Strowman against Kane in a triple threat match for the Universal Championship.
I don't care.
Brock Lesnar's going to win, I feel.
Oh, so that Roman Reigns can beat him when he wins the Royal Rumble?
Oh, my God, dude. If that's what fucking happens. You know what? I think no matter what, I think we're going to get stuck with Brock against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And unfortunately,
it's
gonna
for the title, and it's going to be the best match ever.
No, it'll be for the Universal Championship, no doubt.
It'll be the greatest. It'll be even better than that Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match that went like 9 seconds.
Hey, you know what? If the match goes that long, then good. So I feel like we're going to get Roman against Brock at the WrestleMania. I don't think Roman's going to win. I hope Roman doesn't win the Royal Rumble to get that match. My hope is that Shinsuke Nakamura gets that match, so that way he can challenge AJ Styles, and then that will be the main event. And then, you know, the midway through, we'll get...
You know that won't be the main event. You know that will open the show.
Dude, Brock and Roman cannot be the last match on that card. That is not the fucking biggest match on the card. A, they've already had it, and that cannot be the biggest match on the card.
You know how it works.
Dude,
somehow
they
gets the main event.
They main evented with that match at WrestleMania in San Francisco. Did not go over well. So.
Yeah, but that was a couple years ago.
Aaron, I don't want to start disliking you, so stop. All right. So, who's your pick? Legitimately, who's your pick to win the Royal Rumble match? The men's match.
Legitimately?
Yeah. Like, who do you want to see win it? I want Shinsuke Nakamura to win the match.
You know, it's weird. I haven't really even thought about it. Because, I mean, they haven't announced the full...
No, they've only announced, according to this, 17 of the 30 entrants have been announced.
Yeah. It's more to me, there's people I don't want to see win the match.
Yeah, like Roman Reigns.
You know, like people that you expect.
You know, Roman Reigns hasn't even been officially announced as being in the Rumble, by the way.
But what else is he doing?
Nothing. Yeah. But he is not listed according to this list, which obviously I don't know if it's the most accurate list. It's not on WWE.com. But he's not on the list as being in the match. The only people they have on the list are Elias, Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, John Cena, Finn Balor, Baron Corbin, Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt, Rusev, Aiden English, Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, The Miz, Ty Dillinger, Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. Samoa Joe was in there, but he's been pulled due to his foot injury. Yeah.
You know there's going to be probably two NXT people. My guess is one of them's going to be Aleister Black.
Now, do you think it's going to be a call-up to the main roster type of thing, or just a one-off?
You know what? It's hard to tell. There's a couple people that I think could come up easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like last year, Ty Dillinger came in.
And he hadn't done shit all year.
And then he went back to NXT for a little bit before he came up.
Right, to finish off his feud with Eric Young.
Yeah, I mean, I can see something like that. What I would love, I want to see Johnny Wrestling.
Yep.
And then after that, I want to see Tommaso Ciampa come up.
Yeah.
And have them rekindle their feud in the Rumble match. That would be awesome, but I don't know if he's ready to
wrestle. It'll be interesting. See,
But I mean, look, there's a couple people from NXT I'd love to see on the main roster. But, I mean, they're not... I don't think Adam Cole is coming up anytime soon.
No, I don't think he's coming up anytime. No, not anytime, but yeah.
I don't. I mean, it seems like Aleister Black is probably close.
Yep.
I think
maybe Roderick Strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could easily see him coming up. I mean, you could see maybe the Authors of Pain coming into the match. You know, I mean, that would be an interesting way to debut them. In case people don't watch NXT, you could see these two huge guys manhandle some people before getting tossed out.
Yeah.
But for me, I mean, when was the last time you were really surprised by a Royal Rumble winner?
Alberto Del Rio in 2011.
Yeah. Been 8 years.
Yeah.
Seven.
No, legitimately, that was the last time, like, as I was watching it, I wasn't sure. And it's funny, I was actually at that Rumble in Boston. That was the 40-man Rumble. And that was the last time I was surprised by who won, because I was like, no way.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like every year, the final, you know, four people in the ring there's one guy that you're like, holy crap, there's no way. And as you're saying that, they get thrown out.
Well, think about it. All right, so Del Rio won in 2011.
Right.
Okay. Sheamus won the next year, and he was coming back off a big injury, so it really wasn't that big of a surprise. And then John Cena, Batista, Roman Reigns, Triple H, and Randy Orton. I guess I was kind of surprised Randy Orton won. But I thought it'd be Bray Wyatt winning that year.
Yeah.
Last year. But anyways. So I guess I was surprised about Randy Orton winning, but it was like, okay, well, he's already won before, so.
Yeah.
And I didn't give a shit about Randy Orton at that point. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like you, I would rather. I mean, I would like to see Shinsuke win.
Yeah.
But I mean, as long as it's not Reigns and Orton and Cena, or, you know, like someone that you're just like,
yeah,
okay, like I get it. You know, they don't need to win a Rumble match. You know, they're still going to have a high profile match at WrestleMania. You know, give it someone else. I'm okay.
And then the women's Rumble match. You know, they've announced 18 of 30, and I was surprised it was going to be 30 because I'm like, well, the 18 they've announced is essentially the entire Raw and SmackDown roster. I mean, it's Naomi, Asuka, Ruby Riott, Natalya, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Carmella, Tamina, Lana, Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Mickey James, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, Alicia Fox, and Dana Brooke. The only people, and then Paige was announced as a participant, but, you know, she's, neck injury, so she's out. And Alexa Bliss and Charlotte are not in it.
Right.
So that is the entire Raw and SmackDown women's roster. So that leaves a dozen surprise entrants. And I don't see them bringing up a dozen people from NXT.
I can see at least four or five people from NXT coming up.
Yeah. So that,
and I think it's going to be a whole bunch of former people.
Right. Like, I think you'll probably see.
It's going to be one of the Bellas.
Probably one of the Bellas. Probably Trish Stratus. Maybe even Michelle McCool. I don't see Tori Wilson because of her back. I hope not Kelly, because who gives a shit? I could see Miss Jackie. Or Jacqueline Moore, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah, you know who I'd love to see?
Who?
I want Ivory to come in that ring and just beat the crap out of people.
I would love to see Ivory.
And Victoria.
No, Victoria, I bet you wouldn't do it.
Mm.
I would love to see, like, I don't even know if they can still go, which they probably can't. But I would love to see, like,
a Rumble match.
I would love to see, like, Wendi Richter or Leilani Kai or Judy Martin or Rockin' Robin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of those, you know, Velvet McIntyre, someone from the 80s, one of the Jumping Bomb Angels. It's Tsuki Yamazaki, you know, she just wrestled a couple years ago, and she owns a restaurant with her husband in New York. I mean, Philadelphia to New York's not that far. You could bring in one half of the Jumping Bomb Angels. That would be cool as shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, in the Rumble match, they don't have to go.
Yeah.
Basically, they would be there for a huge pop.
Yeah.
You know, a big nostalgia pop. Let her come to the ring, do whatever one signature move she had.
Yeah.
And then she gets tossed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when, what was it? It was like when a bushwhacker came down to the ring.
Right. Or
and he just arches down to the ring and then walks in, gets thrown right out, and walks right
Or
to the
Godfather. Yeah, that was the best. Or like the Godfather or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who would be a cool surprise entrance to the Women's Royal Rumble? Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the reason why she would be cool is because, like, we haven't, except for her going to the Hall of Fame last year, we haven't seen her. You know, like, she wasn't at the Raw 25th, they haven't talked about her. That would be cool to see her do an entrance. I know, like, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I'm staying completely away from, like, wrestling news sites and this and that. I don't want anything spoiled. I don't want someone, we saw Kevin Nash at the airport, you know, in Philadelphia. Right. You know, like, I don't want any of that stuff.
Like the Hardys before WrestleMania?
Yes, I want to be surprised. Like, I genuinely want to be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't want to be disappointed, but I genuinely want to be surprised. Who do you think they'd call up from NXT?
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure that we will have a couple Australians in there.
Oh, the Iconic Duo?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you might see Ember Moon pop up.
She's got the big match the night before against Shayna Baszler, so I don't think we'll see her. And honestly, since Asuka left, since they put the title on Ember Moon, I have no interest in the women's division down there.
No, not unless Nikki Cross takes the belt. But yeah. I can see her coming up.
Candice LeRae, I wonder. She just got signed.
Possibly.
I mean, I wonder if we're going to see like any of the Mae Young Classic ladies like Toni Storm or Piper Nevin or Santana Garrett.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if a couple of the people that were signed after that. It wouldn't surprise me if Kairi Sane came up.
Oh, yeah. Which I can't believe she doesn't have the title on her yet. What was it? Like Dakota Kai, she's out with an injury, so we're not going to see her. Who's the dumb woman there who does the you know who I'm talking about? She's terrible, but she not Bianca Belair either, but she's got the long blonde hair and she does that
dresses the military thing.
Yeah, the old school 40s.
Yeah.
40s way. And all her daughters always, you know who I'm talking about? She's fucking terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible in the ring.
I liked her more than you did.
Oh, I don't like her at all. So I mean, if you like her even a smidge, you like her more than I do.
Her first match, admittedly, was terrible.
Every match has admittedly been terrible.
It was better.
Well, it was better because she got carried the whole way by Toni Storm.
Still, give her a break.
Nope.
She looks like she's from her country.
Boo!
Yeah, I think maybe Ronda Rousey shows up?
No, I don't think so, because if she does, she has to win. Yeah. I don't see her showing up in the Rumble match, because if she does, she has to win. But then again, you know, AJ Styles didn't win, so we never know, I guess. But yeah, no, I don't see her showing up for the Royal Rumble. If she's going to debut, it'll be a build to her first match. Hmm. So, NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. We got four matches on the card.
That's the whole card, right?
The Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the whole card.
It's the two Rumble matches.
Yep.
Which will be like 2 hours. And then you have the two world championship matches, a tag champion match.
Yep.
Possibly a cruiserweight match. We don't know. But
we have two tag team title matches, two world title matches, and two Royal Rumble matches.
One of the tag matches is on the pre-show. The two out of three falls match they said was a pre-show match.
Oh, you know what? None of these are denoted as being on the pre-show. So.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was at first. They said that was going to be on the
pre-show. Now, I wonder, is the Royal Rumble starting at 7 o'clock, or is the pre-show starting at 7 o'clock? The pre-pro show probably starts at, like, 5.
No, they're not going to do a two-hour pre-show, are they?
I don't know. They're trying to make the Royal Rumble bigger than what it is. But I think the actual Royal Rumble pay-per-view...
Four matches on the card.
I think the Royal Rumble pay-per-view starts itself at 7 o'clock. So if the pre-show maybe starts at 6.
Then they're going to have to add some matches.
Well, if they actually did 2 minutes in between each one, I mean, there is 2 hours right there. And then that only leaves a half hour for each of the other matches, plus video packages and on and on and on, if you're doing a four-hour show from 7 to 11, so...
Right, but do you really think they're going to give The Bar and Rollins and Jordan 30 minutes?
No, but with pre-tape, with the opening and then video packages and then backstage interviews and on and on and on, I mean, it'll eat up enough time, I think, that you could have a four-hour show or just a hair under four-hour show with these six matches. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm really surprised that there's no women's championship matches.
You would think there would be, but then again, who are they going to fight? Everyone's in the Rumble.
That's the thing. Well, put the two of them against each other again.
No, we already saw that.
I don't care. How are you going to have a pay-per-view without your champions on the pay-per-view?
It
would be ridiculous if they only brought them out to do, like, guest commentary during the women's match.
Oh, I hope they don't even do that. Because then you'll know they'll get involved somehow.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, you have two of the better performers in the division are not even final.
I'm sure it burns their ass. They're not in the. I'm sure it burns their ass that they're not in the first ever Royal Rumble match.
Well, it should burn Vince McMahon's ass that he doesn't even have him booked.
They should have them in the match, and then whoever, and if one of them happens to win, then they'll have to decide a challenger another way. That's plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? I would be okay with Charlotte winning the match.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Watch it be someone shitty like Naomi or something.
It'll be Brie Bella. It'll be like the worst of the two Bellas.
You don't think Nikki's the worst of the two Bellas?
Well, but Brie just had a baby, so I don't think she's in the shape that she was.
I don't care. Nikki's the worst of the two. I like Brie better than Nikki. What?
Maybe pregnant Maryse will come into the match.
I probably not. I'm sure they want to avoid that any way they can.
Yeah. Oh, is Lana in the match? Maybe she'll win.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't see her name on there, but maybe.
Yeah.
That's true. Anywho, NXT TakeOver in Philadelphia the night before.
Yeah.
They are having a pre-show. NXT is, yeah, I saw that. It'd be the first time they're having a pre-show. There's no pre-show match listed, but you never know. Anyways,
yeah.
We got the Undisputed Era of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly against the Authors of Pain for the NXT Tag Team title.
I don't like the Authors of Pain.
Fair enough.
I've yet to see them do anything other than get carried by really good tag teams.
Well, I guess we'll see it again.
Yeah, but it's like whenever they're not in with, you know, like DIY or the Revival,
mm-hmm.
or both of them, as the case may be.
Yep,
they're not that good. Mm-hmm. Who are those two? Those two guys? When
TM61?
Yeah, TM60. Like the match was okay, but
yeah,
like, it wasn't. You know, like they're two big guys who are slightly agile.
Yep.
Who do the same typical power moveset that everybody else does.
Right. And I think that their Super Destroyer is stupid, by the way.
Hmm.
Yep. The Super Collider, I mean, where they pick the guys up in the powerbomb position and then smash each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's stupid. I think this it's just dumb. So anyways, Ember Moon against Shayna Baszler for the women's title. I could care less.
Yeah. That's another one. Whatever.
Yeah.
Ember Moon will probably keep the belt, but I would be okay with Baszler winning. In fact, I probably prefer Baszler to win.
Yeah, I could care less.
But I don't think either of them really are ready for the women's championship. Should have been Billie Kay.
I would be happy with Billie Kay. And a Extreme Rules match, Aleister Black against Adam Cole. That could be your show stealer right there.
Yeah.
You know? That could really be your show stealer right there.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that one has the... You know how like NXT usually has one match that you're like, well, this is probably going to be the match of the weekend.
Yep.
I think that one right there seems, it just looking at everything, that one definitely has the highest potential in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, Aleister Black, I'm a big fan of his. Adam Cole, I'm a fan of his. I was actually very surprised when in the tournament to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship that Aleister Black beat Adam Cole in that tournament.
Yeah.
And that was a great match. And that was just a straight-up match. So seeing them in an Extreme Rules match, I'm kind of excited what they're going to do.
Yeah, my only issue with Extreme Rules matches,
yep.
I don't like when they do like hardcore or you know whatever type matches just for the sake of bringing out like a couple crappy props. You know?
Right.
So I'm hoping that's not the route they go. I hope that it's more, you know, they just do crazy stuff, you know, and fight way outside of the ring instead of, you know, oh, look, here's, oh, my God, they got the kitchen sink. Or, you know, like garbage like that. Because that was trash.
And then go ahead.
RoboCop comes out.
Well, Capital Combat 1990, man, it's the shit. Andre Cien Almas against Johnny Gargano. This could be a super great match as well for the NXT Championship. And I think we're going to see... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm picking Aleister Black. I'm picking Adam Cole to win the Extreme Rules match, by the way.
I am as well.
I want to see Aleister Black win it, but I just told you Aleister Black already got a clean finish on him. So, you know, yeah. Adam Cole's going to win this one. Johnny Gargano against Andre Cien Almas. I feel like if this is the Almas we've been seeing, this could be a really good match.
I think that Gargano can have a good match with anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
no, it's,
guy,
it's true.
He is one of the best, I think, sellers currently in the all of WWE.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And I think he's going to make Almas look like $1 trillion.
Yeah, he's the Ricky Morton of our generation, of this generation of wrestlers, as far as when it comes to selling and everything. I would love to see Gargano win the title. I would absolutely love to see Gargano win the title.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of... Go ahead.
What's going to happen? He's going to win the title. He's going to come up to the Rumble as the champion.
Yep.
And he's going to win the Rumble.
Nope.
He's going to challenge...
I'd be okay with it, but nope.
Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar is going to beat him in half a second, and then he will never have a career in the WWE again. Because that's what they like to do to NXT guys. Look at Apollo Crews.
Who?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been kind of reading the SmackDown results as we talk about this. Were you watching it in the background with it muted while we were doing this?
No, I watched up through... I turned it off right as we were starting to record, so I watched just maybe an hour and 15 minutes of it.
Okay, so you didn't see the double main event of AJ Styles against Kevin Owens and then AJ Styles against Sami Zayn?
I will watch that after we finish recording.
Okay, so I won't say anything then. Wade Keller's analysis of it, though, is I'm not sure how we're supposed to feel about anyone involved in the last 30 minutes of the show. So, but this is the one. This is what stood out that I wanted to read you. Let's see here.
It's about the women's match.
Naomi versus Liv Morgan. Yeah. Keller's analysis. Yikes! That wasn't good.
Yes.
I like the usage of the word yikes. I don't know why.
I'm telling you, Mike. Naomi had her down. And, you know, where she does, the flip over thing, so she's kind of laying with her back on her.
Oh, yeah.
Liv Morgan does the thing where she bridges up holding her, and they turn around so that they change who has the leverage.
Right, right, and they do the backslide, yeah.
Count one, they count two, Naomi sort of flails one of her legs, the referee stands up, saying two count, another 3 or 4 seconds pass, the pin is still 100% on, and then they just sort of roll to the side and get up.
Fantastic.
It was possibly the worst. I mean, which was the pay-per-view where they screwed up? It was AJ and Kevin Owens, right?
Yep.
Where the shoulders were down.
Yep.
And they're like, all right, well, now we're going to have a rematch. like they should have just counted it out and been like, well, we screwed this up and we'll just go from here. Because it was the worst botched kick out I've ever seen.
Nice.
Yeah, you need to watch it. You need to watch it and report back.
So what do you think of the mixed match challenge?
To be honest, I haven't been watching. And
okay.
The reason I haven't been watching is because there's zero reason why Finn Balor and Bayley are not a tag team in it. They were amazing as the NXT men's and women's champion.
Yep.
When they used to, you know, goof around and come out with each other's entrances and stuff. They 100% should have been in that team. And besides that, I really don't care. my guess is that Miz and Asuka are going to win.
Yeah, no, they won tonight.
I'm not watching results. Did, okay.
I'm sorry. They won tonight. I apologize if I ever won that for you. Daniel Bryan is supposed to, on 205 Live tonight, Daniel Bryan is supposed to address the Cruiserweight title match I just read.
Oh, interesting.
The Cruiserweight title situation. So we'll find what's going to be happening with it. So we'll find that out.
Hey, we'll have the first ever Cruiserweight Royal Rumble.
Oh, Jesus. In the pre-show. Why not, right?
With a 15-second timer between wrestlers coming in.
30 seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
And then everyone gets thrown out the second they're put in the match.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be just like one of those, like, 8-man elimination tag matches they do on Raw for the Cruiserweights. Come in and hit a high spot, eliminated. Next guy, high spot, eliminated. It's great.
Why is Unfiltered?
They wonder why nobody watches 205 Live.
Yeah, well, I just queued up the WWE Network, and Watch Now is listed as Unfiltered with Renee Young instead of 205 Live. Which was supposed to start at 10:20. So that's probably not helping them either.
Yeah.
So anyways, talking about some other wrestling news. So back in December, I don't know if I told you about this. I know I had to have shared it with you, but we haven't talked about it. Zack Sabre Jr. and Chuck Taylor fought in a Falls Count Anywhere no ring match at the Tender Tap in Brooklyn, New York. Did you watch that?
I did not.
Oh my god, I know I shared it in the group. I'll have to share it again or just go look it on YouTube. But yeah, so Zack Sabre Jr. and Chuck Taylor wrestled a match, and they went like 16 minutes in this bar with no ring. They just kind of walked into a group of people that got into a circle, and they were just like, I guess this is where we're doing it. And they just started fighting and wrestling. And it was...
So it was like Bloodsport?
No, it was very entertaining, though. Like, it was more entertaining than it even had a right to be.
Did they dip up their hands and dip it in, like, a sticky, tacky substance?
No.
And put it,
no, they were just... They were just in full-on wrestling gear.
Oh, man.
They were in their wrestling gear.
Like Bloodsport anymore.
Huh?
Van Damme could have taken them if it was Bloodsport.
Probably. You did hear about the new kickboxer movie, right?
No.
Okay, so you saw... Well, you know that they did a remake, came out last year, where Van Damme is playing the old man trainer.
Right.
And there's a new Kurt Sloan because, you know... Did you see that one, at least?
No, I did not.
Okay, but you heard about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a sequel coming out this year. And the kid's back there, and he's being forced to fight again, and blah, blah, blah. Mike Tyson is also involved in this movie. Now, I don't know if he's playing Mike Tyson, but in the movie, he's a very skilled fighter, specifically when it comes to boxing. And he has a hand in the training of Kurt Sloan as well. And it even implies that Van Damme and Tyson have a fight.
Interesting.
Like a short fight scene in the movie. So,
You know what would have made that cooler?
What?
If it took place in, like, 1990.
I don't think it does.
But, I mean, that's awesome.
Pretty sure it doesn't. So, anyways, like I said, this match, you got to find it. It's, again, Zack Sabre Jr. against Chuck Taylor at the Tender Tap in Brooklyn in New York. Yeah. And it's a Falls Count Anywhere, no ring match. And, again, it was way better than you'd ever expect it to be.
Hmm.
Way better. Did you hear about – well, okay, so Women of Honor, Ring of Honor started a Women of Honor Championship tournament.
Yes.
The tournament has already started. They haven't aired any of the matches yet, so I'm not going to talk about it, but the tournament has already started, so it'll be interesting. It's going to feature the regulars we've been seeing on Ring of Honor, women, that is, plus women from the Stardom World, or World of Stardom, from Japan, are also going to be involved in the tournament. And okay. I think I'm not sure when the last match is going to... For some reason, at first I thought it said something about Final Battle, but that's December. I don't think they're going to have a year-long tournament. Let's see here.
Well, I mean, maybe if every female competitor from Ring of Honor and Stardom and New Japan and everything take place, they could have a year-long
tournament. No, it was announced at Final Battle last year. I don't know when the finals are going to be. I would assume it'll be at one of the pay-per-views coming up here. Either in the spring or in the summer.
Maybe early summer.
Yeah. I'm going to Ring of Honor.
When?
War of the Worlds is this May, and the first stop on the tour is in Lowell, Massachusetts at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium, May 9th. It's a Wednesday night, actually. It's not a pay-per-view. They've done a pay-per-view there the last 2 years. This year it's a house show, but it's the house show where all the New Japan talent's there.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so my buddies and I – so the last 2 years we went there. We went there for All-Star Extravaganza 8 and Best of the World 2017. And when I went online to buy tickets, like I joined the Ring of Honor, like, you know, members club so I could get the presale code. And when I went online to buy tickets, like at the time, Lowell Memorial, you could actually select, like it would bring up the seating chart. You could pick which seats you wanted and buy your tickets that way. So okay. Those the last 2 years in a row, I bought I bought the same seats. We were front row on the aisle of the entrance. Okay, you can see us on the videos, and I got a bunch of pictures I took and everything. So this year when I went online to buy tickets, we could not pick where you wanted. It said due to the high volume of tickets, we will choose for you or something like that. So we managed to get three front row tickets once again, and we're in section D and we're on the aisle again, but it's not the entrance, it's the other side of the ring. But still, it's going to be a great ticket. That section, none of those seats are like, you know how if you go to wrestling sometimes, like a front row seat will be not like way down, almost like facing another section as opposed to facing the ring.
It's like to the side for some weird reason.
Yeah. No, that's not the issue there. We're on the other side, so you know we're going to be the front. You know, we'll be by the ring post or towards the center, and I believe our seats are towards the center, anyways. So. And this show has sold more tickets faster than the previous two Ring of Honor shows. Like, right after buying a ticket, I tried to buy I tried to buy three more. Like, front row was sold out in a blink. And then later on that day, I went online, and just for shiggles, I tried to buy one ticket, and it put me in the balcony. Not even on the floor. So then on Friday, when tickets went on sale, I tried to buy one ticket just to see what they were doing, and it had me, like, almost in the back row of the balcony. So the tickets for this show are selling faster than any other show, and I have to say that that's probably all because of New Japan Pro Wrestling, because New Japan Pro Wrestling is so huge right now.
Right.
And this tour, they bring over all the New Japan guys. Like, they usually have one or two on most of their pay-per-views, like one or two guys. But this is the show where they bring over all the bigger names. Like, Kenny Omega is usually there, Kazuchika Okada, you know, Naito, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really hoping for Minoru Suzuki. I'd like to see him in person. And Okada. Those are the two I'd really want to see the most. So, but yeah. Ring of Honor again. Very excited.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah. See, Wrestle Kingdom this year, Wrestle Kingdom 12, they sold out the Dome. It's the first time they've done that in a long time. And I believe their pre-sale for tickets this year was greater than their total attendance last year.
Jeez.
And apparently, they had the day of the event, they had worldwide, they had 10,000 new subscribers to New Japan World the day of Wrestle Kingdom. So
I could see that. I mean, they did start hyping up the Jericho Omega match.
Yep.
Like a couple weeks before, a month or so before. But I mean, I could see a lot of people like, oh crap, that's now, and ordering.
Yep. I mean, I happen to be at work. Like it's started at like 2:30 in the morning our time with the New Japan Rumble. And I was at work, so at 2:30 on my tablet, fired up the old New Japan World, and I enjoyed it. I had to pause it when I got home, and then when I got home, I finished off the last two matches. So, but yeah, that was awesome. And yeah. This coming weekend, actually, coming up here, the 27th and 28th, we got a new beginning in Sapporo, Japan. And some of the matches include Minoru Suzuki against Tanahashi for the Intercontinental title, rematch for the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles with the Young Bucks against Roppongi 3K, Kenny Omega against Switchblade Jay White for the United States Championship. And I don't know who Okada's wrestling yet. I haven't actually looked up the cards. This is just what I can remember off the top of my head, but that's this coming weekend as well. So it's a big weekend between the two New Japan shows and then TakeOver and Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I went to Limitless Wrestling last week. Last Friday, the 19th there in Westbrook. Once again,
have a good time up there.
Phenomenal show. Oh, yeah. Yeah, phenomenal show. Something happened at this show I had never seen at a wrestling show before, and of this nature, the ring broke.
Huh.
But the ring didn't break as much as it was the bottom rope broke.
Oof.
And we had something had happened, and we heard like a big snapping sound. And Mikey was sitting next to me. He's like, I think the ring just broke. I'm like, yeah, it definitely sounded like one of the come-alongs underneath the ring broke. But then the ring didn't seem to be shifting or moving, and everything seemed to be fine. And then Ethan Page does this move where he's standing on the ring apron. And he puts one foot in, and he steps on the bottom rope. And then he ducks under, and he pushes off the rope in and grabs the guy and to DDT and to front face lock and DDTs him. Well, when he stepped through and went to do it, the rope broke. I mean, in one
like
of the corners.
Or
yeah.
Just kind of fell off.
Well, the rope is a cable with
right.
In this ring, the rope is a cable with padding around it and then tape, and the cable had broke completely off in one of the corners, and it just fell on the mat. And so when he went to push off on it, he just fell face first on the canvas. It was hilarious.
Was it like when Jericho went to do the lion salt off the middle rope, and the middle rope just kind of gave away, and he just sort of fell flat backed in the mat?
Yeah, the rope gave away, but like it completely broke off.
Mm.
Like it was hanging off the ring, like in the corner, like so it completely came off and was half hanging off and everything. If you look at my the Wrestling Insomniac, I have some pictures I put up there. One of them is Ethan Page holding the rope up over his head after the match was over when they won. And so there was only two matches left on the card, and what ended up happening was Larry Huntley, who we've had on this show before last year, he came out and he's the one that owns the ring that they rent the ring from. He just removed the rope and threw it underneath the ring and walked off. And so they had the last two matches with just the top two ropes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, truthfully, you couldn't, like, it didn't matter.
Right.
Like, it didn't affect the matches in any way. It just looked odd watching guys wrestle in a ring with only two ropes. So. My Teddy Hart made a surprise, unadvertised appearance when the show was over. And that was pretty awesome. Crowd got pretty jacked up about that. And he challenged JT Dunne, Josh Briggs, and Ace Romero to a six-man tag in March when they returned on March 30th. Against Teddy Hart, Sammy Callahan, and AR Fox. So that should be absolutely friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, who else? Oh, so they did this thing where they announced who coming next time, New Japan star and Bullet Club member. And then there was a long pause, and everyone's like, oh my God, who's it going to be? And in my brain, I'm like, it's not going to be Omega. It's not going to be the Young Bucks. You know, it's like. I thought it's got to be Adam Page. It's not going to be Cody because he just signed that exclusive. It's got to be Adam Page. It's going to be Adam Page. Chase Owens. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And people are just like, who the frig's that? So Chase Owens is going to be there next time. So, but hey, he had a good showing at the New Japan Rumble before he got eliminated. So there you go. I also have tickets to A Lifelong Dream's gonna come true finally. Since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to do this from watching the old Coliseum home videos and then everything else growing up, and my buddy and I have always talked about it, and this year we finally said, fuck it, we're just gonna do it. And we're going to Madison Square Garden on Friday, March the 16th for obviously WWE house show. Did not want to go there for a TV taping because I just didn't. I wanted to do a house show. I kind of wish they had no set whatsoever, but so we're going for we bought tickets when the pre-sale went on back around Christmas time.
Yep.
And we managed to get front row of the balcony on an aisle by the entranceway. So that's pretty cool. Would I like to have had front row? Yeah, sure. But I didn't want to spend $350 $600 a ticket.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to make the drive. He used his points to get us a hotel room right nearby, and He lives in New Bedford, Mass, so I'm going to drive down the night before. Actually, ironically as it is, the night before on Thursday night, I'm going to head down and spend the night at his house. And XWA, about a half hour from his house, XWA is going to be running their weekly Thursday night show, so I'm going to go to that.
Nice.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to get as much wrestling in as I can at all times. And then, and it's best, the XWA weekly shows, they do about 7-8 matches. They're $5. You never know who's going to be there. So it'll be fun. Anyways, and then the next day we're going to take the train from Providence right into the garden. So
yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. And then, like, the hotel is, like, 3/10 of a mile from the garden, so we'll just walk over. And we're going to be there early, and check-in's not till 4, but I'm hoping they'll let us leave our bags there, at least. And then we can go out and explore a little bit and then head back and then go to the show that night. And then,
yeah, there's really nothing to see around there.
Well, the Empire State Building's, like, half mile away.
I'm joking.
Okay, I don't know. Like, you live in New Jersey, so I'm sure you know. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there all the time.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're interested in, and I can give you a list of stuff that you can do an easy walking distance.
Well, I'm interested in anything weird or unusual. I'm interested in, like, I'm not going to go up to the top of the Empire State Building, probably. I mean, I don't know. I guess after the show we could go over. It's open until 2 a.m., but not to sound stupid, but I mean, how sketchy is it going to be walking around from the garden to the Empire State Building in New York at night, at midnight?
It's really not that far away.
Yeah.
And that area of the city.
Yeah.
It's not like you're walking through, like, real crappy areas. You're right in Midtown.
I don't know. Okay.
So it is bright. And, I mean, I'll put it this way. We used to take the train into the city.
Yeah.
Like, path trains into the city, which we would get off, like, around where the garden is.
Yep.
And we would walk up to just straight up Broadway to the Beacon Theater, which is like 46 blocks away.
Yeah.
You know, go to concerts. Concert would end who knows when, and then walk all the way back to the train afterwards and never, you know, I mean, 40 plus blocks. Like, you're not in a bad area.
So going to the top of the Empire State Building at, like, midnight after the show, because I know it's open till 2 a.m., it says, it'd probably be a pretty view of the city.
Oh, I'm sure it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might do that.
Also, you could take a look at the Manhattan Center, because it's right around the corner from the garden.
Yeah, I probably will. I'll probably go do that. Yeah.
More than likely, there will be some, like, heavy metal concert or something getting out when the wrestling's getting out.
We've talked about going to the tour of the Madison Square Garden earlier when we get there, type of thing, because, you know, doing the behind the scenes tours or whatever. They charge like $28 for that, but
yeah, wait until you see how expensive food and drinks are at the garden.
Yeah, I hope
you come with a full stomach.
After listening to you talk about your wife ordering $47 drinks that are just like a $5 drink up this way, yeah, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a really crappy personal pizza for like $19 at the garden.
Yeah.
And by personal pizza, I mean it's less than the size of a normal slice of pizza.
Nice.
But it's a little round thing that they cut into four slices for you.
What's the best pizza place around there for us to get pizza?
Jeez, around there?
That's what I want to know. I want to have authentic New York pizza.
I will think about it, and I will tell you.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I give you... Yeah, I'll definitely... I got to think about what's around there, because to be honest with you...
Don't lie to me, please.
No. I mean, I don't go into the city just to grab slices of pizza.
Yeah.
If I'm there, I'm there.
Yeah.
But I'll figure it out for you.
Yeah, like, that's my big thing. Like, I'd like to find a place that deep fries Mars bars. That's in walking distance, because, you know.
Do they do that?
That's a thing, yeah. Yeah, like the chip shops. Yeah.
Interesting.
But we'll see.
Are you going to try and hit up like a Nathan's?
Well, no, because we went to the original Coney Island stand.
In Coney Island,
back in 2012. So, like, what's the other, like, Sabretta's? Is that the other popular one? Or Not Golden Banana. Jesus, that's a strip club in Boston. There's another, isn't there another like hot dog cart chain or something up there, down there? I mean,
there could be. I'm not like a huge hot dog guy.
Obviously, so. I love them. Yeah. But anyways, I'm excited about it. I mean, a lifelong dream to go to the Garden to see a show. I mean, the Brock Lesnar's going to be there, so that's kind of cool. I mean,
well, because it's the road to WrestleMania, so you'll see.
Yeah.
You will see everybody, it's MSG.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's not just going to be one brand.
Yeah. Well, it's Raw brand.
Oh, is it? But you know, there's going to be SmackDown people.
Most likely, because it's Madison Square Garden.
Right before Mania.
Yeah, it's Madison Square Garden. Typically, SmackDown doesn't tour on Friday night, so it'd be easy to have anyone from SmackDown there. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Maybe you'll get the Usos.
Yeah, I'm hoping Roman Reigns has been fired from this steroid trial accusation things, and so I won't have to see him, or he's injured or something. But we're getting Brock Lesnar on the card. I've heard he's going to be wrestling Kane. So it'll be cool to see Brock Lesnar live. I haven't seen him live at a show, because the last time he wrestled the house show, I guess 2003.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he doesn't wrestle many house shows. Like, I actually looked it up the other day, and I think he's wrestled 40 matches or something like that, or 42 matches, since he returned in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, he doesn't do a lot of house shows. So, that was kind of... So that,
put it this way. He barely does pay-per-views, so...
Exactly. So, it'll be cool to see him. It'll be cool. I'm hoping to see the Revival in a tag match. If they're tag champs, even better.
I'm sure you'll get Balor.
I'd love to, yeah. And I'd probably get Balor and Gallows and Anderson. So I'm excited to see all those guys. That'll be fun. Asuka.
Oh, yeah.
Most likely, you know. So I'm very excited. And that just, you know, I've been around New York City on the roads and everything. I've never stopped in New York City. I've been to, you know, like I said, I went to Coney Island, but we went down to Coney Island, then we went over to Rahway, New Jersey after. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Should be good.
Yeah. Hey, so did you know that for a short time Edmonton, Alberta banned professional wrestling?
Like recently or way back in the day?
Like a month ago.
Interesting.
Like professional wrestling fell under athletic commission guidelines, and they got like combat sports banned, and wrestling had fallen underneath that purview. And so by default, they banned wrestling, but they just literally just today, the Edmonton City Council, whatever it was, voted to remove wrestling from combat sports. So just today, professional wrestling is no longer subject to being a combat sport. So the Edmonton City Council decided Tuesday, paving the way for the return of the World Wrestling Federation, because apparently they had a show booked there and they were going to cancel the show because, you know, yeah, they canceled wrestling. I mean, they banned wrestling. I couldn't believe it, because it's Canada, you know, and especially Edmonton.
Yeah, but you know what? That like happens every now and again around here.
Well, they had a fatal boxing match, and after someone got killed in the boxing match there, they banned wrestling. They banned all combat sports.
I mean, it makes sense.
And that included, and wrestling at that time fell under combat sports. So, yeah. But they fixed that today, so. Good for the fans of professional wrestling.
Yes, seriously.
Hey, speaking of combat sports, Dana White recently said that he's going to give CM Punk another shot in the UFC.
Oh, yeah? I'm hoping that they give CM Punk a chance at the Royal Rumble.
Well, I would assume that will end any current WWE return talks if Dana White's saying he's going to let CM Punk have another match. Another fight, I mean. So, and then I guess the last thing I want to bring up is this past weekend at Destiny Wrestling in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, you had what might be the only time this ever happens, where the WWE United Kingdom champion, Pete Dunne, who's also the Destiny Wrestling champion, wrestled the Impact Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion in Austin Aries. and a match. So yeah.
Wait, so you know what? I have not paid any attention to TNA.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Impact.
Impact,
whatever.
Yeah.
In months. So Austin Aries is back there and he is their champion?
Yes, at the most recent set of TV tapings they did a couple weeks ago, which I think the very first episode from the new regime of Don Callis and Scott D'Amore airs this Thursday. Because last Thursday, I believe, was the last set of tapings that they had done from previously. Because this Thursday, now, they returned to the four-sided ring.
Yeah, I heard that they were doing that.
Yeah, and a lot of guys are left the company.
Actual TV?
Huh?
Is it on actual TV?
It's on Pop TV.
It is. Oh, okay.
It's on Pop, yeah. But anyhow, Impact has a bigger TV presence in other countries than it does in the United States. Like, they're on better networks, I mean, than they are here.
Right.
But anyways, so yeah, at that set of tapings, Austin Aries returned and then defeated Eli Drake for the World Championship.
Wow, beat Eli Drake.
Yeah. So at the Destiny, so at this past weekend, you know, we had the WWE UK champion Pete Dunne against the Impact Wrestling World Champion Austin Aries for the Destiny Wrestling Championship title.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. Except they did a false finish where both men's shoulders were pinned to the mat, and so they restarted the match. And then I don't know if they added him to this match or he just came out, but James Ellsworth did a run in. And they both did their finishers on Ellsworth, and then Dunn pinned Ellsworth, and then the match was over.
Interesting.
Yep. Yep. I didn't think they would be able to have either one of those guys lose, you know, unless they had not said at all that either one of them, you know, one was a WWE champ, one was an Impact champ. So, right. Yeah.
Did they announce that?
They advertised it as that, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Huh. That blew up my internet, my internet feed there after Austin Aries won the title. Because I guess the match was already scheduled, and then Aries won the belt.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought it was good. But, so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, what do you think of the 10,000 seat show that the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes are talking about?
All right, so I'm kind of excited about it. I think it could be really cool. I hope they sell out. You know, they haven't advertised a lot of people. You know, they've advertised, you know, obviously Marty, Hangman, the Bucks, Tessa Blanchard, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega. And then, of course, now they're teasing when it's where it's going to be. And it looks like, based on the most recent episode of Being the Elite, they had Cody had a Cleveland shirt on. Someone else was sporting a Chicago shirt, Chicago Bulls, like a Michael Jordan jersey. Someone had a Knicks hat on. And then there was, I think California was referenced in one of the other hats or something. So it looks like it's dead. They haven't announced where it is, but it seems to be teasing it's down to one of those four locations.
You know?
Yeah.
This is the thing. And I'm going to say biased. I'm going to sound biased because I am from the New York area.
Yep.
If you're going to try and have a show, like your first really big show.
Yep.
I mean, come on, you can't go to Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland does seem unrealistic. Yeah, yeah. Chicago, like New York, Los Angeles, those.
Chicago, yeah. Philadelphia.
Yeah, those make sense.
Maybe LA.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that, but like, I mean, look at how crazy the crowds are when, you know, WWE or whatever does a show in New York.
Yeah.
Does a show in Philly, does a show in Chicago.
I think New York would be the best place for it.
You know, I mean, you got to go to a place that has a lot of people
yep.
that would be interested in going.
Yep.
And Cleveland? Come on.
I think New York probably would be the best spot for it. I just, you know, I hope they can pull it off. But I hope they don't pull it off and they book a bunch of guys to make it look like it's like a Ring of Honor show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think if this is really going to be their own thing, then it's got to be their own thing.
I saw that they sent the invite to CM Punk to come?
Yes, they did.
So, I mean, if that's the case, because I think when they did that, they're like, we can even do the show in Chicago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're going to be in Chicago and he says, I mean, even if he doesn't perform, like if he just comes out and cuts a promo.
Yep.
Good Lord, that place is going to, the roof is going to blow off that building.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It really is. No, I'm excited about it. I think it could be like really good.
Yeah.
It'll just be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah.
It says here, someone chatted, since All In 2018 is going to be a huge event, the day before or the morning of the show, any idea of having early fan access, meet and greets, or stuff like that? And their response was, from Cody Rhodes was, we recently had a very encouraging chat with an interested party in terms of doing a multi-day separate convention. I bet the farm it'll happen.
Huh.
So, did you see, did you watch the empty arena match between Tim Storm and Josephus?
No, I did not.
Okay. Oh, and also don't forget, Steve Amell is all in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So I've been following the new NWA here and their weekly, not weekly, but their YouTube channel and everything they've been doing and whatnot. And in my opinion, they've been doing a really, really good job with all of it.
Right.
And they just recently did a empty arena match of Tim Storm versus Josephus. And they did it with at the Impact Zone, actually. And I'm shocked to say this, because the last two matches that we saw between Josephus and Tim Storm weren't the best matches by any means. This match was really good. Tim Storm basically for 14 minutes beat the ever living piss out of Josephus and all around that building. And Josephus sold it well, and Tim Storm was talking trash the entire time. And it was really good. Like, I was surprised how good it was. And then the finish, you know, Josephus ended up winning the match, and the finish came when Tim Storm took a hellacious bump. They had a ladder from the ring apron to the guardrail. And I can't remember. I think Tim Storm might have been on the second rope, or he might have even just been standing on the ring apron. I honestly can't remember, but he took a bump onto the ladder that was draped across the two. The ladder didn't budge, it didn't bend, it didn't break, it didn't give way, it didn't fall over. He just thudded on it, and then he rolled off it and fell to fall to the floor. And when he did, he fell on a second ladder that was laying on the floor. Not sure that was planned to happen. Don't know. Huh. It was sickening, though. And it was like, jeez. Yeah, it was. I was just like, holy shit! Like it, yeah. It was. It popped me. Couldn't believe it. And then Josephus got the win. And made a lot of sense as to why, I tell you what. But I was surprised how good it was. You should go on their YouTube channel and check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like, I don't know, empty arena matches kind of weird me out.
Well, okay, so the Terry Funk one against Jerry Lawler was good in Memphis back in the late 70s or early 80s, whenever that was. That was solid. The Mankind Rock Super Bowl halftime one, not so much in my opinion. I didn't care much for that one, but this one was good. I was surprised. I was not going into watch it too overly excited, but I was genuinely surprised. So, and I got one more thing I'd like to chat at. Barbed Wire Massacre 3.
Okay.
The match that was too graphic for Pop TV. So it did not air on Pop TV. However, it aired on Twitch right after Impact was over last Thursday night.
Okay.
And I fired up the old tablet, got on the went onto the website there, and I watched the Barbed Wire Massacre 3. And I must say, I was thoroughly disappointed.
It was not nearly as violent as you were expecting.
Well, here's the thing. There was a lot of bumps I don't know if you're familiar with what it was, but it was a six-man tag. And it was Ohio versus everyone, which was Sammy Callahan, Jake Crist, and Dave Crist. And then against LAX of Ortiz, Santana, and Homicide. And they take the ropes down. They got barbed wire up instead. They got little barbed wire boards laying around. They got ladders laying around, et cetera, et cetera. So guys are taking bumps onto the barbed wire. One, you know, I think Jake Chris got wrapped up in the barbed wire. And the audio, because, all right, because the post-production commentary is how they handle this, the person that was mixing the audio doesn't know what they're doing, apparently, because the audio was louder than the ring. It's like when you're watching a match, usually you can hear the impact of the canvas.
Right.
You can hear when they hit the ladder, the noise their body makes when they hit the ladder. When they break a table, you hear the table crumbling. You know, when the guys hit the barbed wire, you hear them screaming or something. The audio was all screwed up, so you could hear the ring announcers over everything. So that takes away from it, because if you can't hear the impact and you can't hear the action, then you lose some of that.
See, that's my problem with empty arena matches.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like a couple years, I forget what soccer team it was in Europe.
Yeah.
That, like, their fans were, like, being racist and harassing players. So they got, like, a couple-game ban where they could not let fans into the game.
Yeah, I
and
heard
I
about that.
I was watching one of the games, and it's just, like, it doesn't feel like a game.
Yep.
Like, the match, it doesn't feel like a match because they're doing their thing, and there's just, like, no one there. Didn't Mankind and The Rock have one or something?
Yeah, I said Mankind against The Rock at the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's based on that. Yeah. Like, that whole thing, like, I'm just like, I couldn't get into it because part of what gets you so excited is, like, the crowd reaction to everything.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying, but for whatever reason, this one with Joe Fiese and Tim... Yeah, just watch it. I mean, I'm not saying it's the greatest match of all time by any means, but I was surprised how good the match actually was. And then the finish, and maybe it's because the finish was popped me so big that I got rose-colored glasses looking at the rest of the match. But I don't know. I think you'll like it. I think you will.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. And now you're saying that the commentary is so loud.
Yeah, the commentary was so friggin' loud. Like, it was... I don't know. The audio wasn't mixed well. So that takes away from the match itself. And this is a barbed wire match with six guys and nobody bled.
What you don't know is after the match, they announced that four out of the six guys had internal bleeding.
Yeah, well, nobody bled. No one was openly bleeding. Like, there wasn't even, like I think at one point you see, I think it's Jake Crist, when he's laying on the canvas, the camera pans by, and the shirt is raised up on his back. You see a couple nicks on his back where he had some, like, incidental blood. That's it. Like,
but it's like a thumbtack bump.
Yeah. Even then, that's even the thumbtack bump looks more visual and bleeds more than this was. I mean, this is just, it's like, why isn't no one bladed? This is supposed to be a violent match where these guys are killing each other and nobody's bleeding, and yet there's barbed wire involved and nobody's bleeding, and, you know, Homicide's face was just raked across the barbed wire and he's not bleeding. You know, it's just. So that took away from it. That really took away. It detracted it from it horrendously. Because it's barbed wire. Like, okay, I can buy in a steel cage match, someone doesn't get busted open the hard way from getting their face smashed into the cage. I can totally buy that. I cannot buy a barbed wire match where guys aren't pouring blood out their face. I can't.
Right.
Can't. Yeah. And then, oh my gosh, so when the Barbed Wire Massacre match got over, it rolled right over and it kept going on Twitch TV, which was free, and they aired Bound for Glory 2017 from last November.
Huh.
I hadn't watched it yet. I heard a lot of bad stuff about it. Everything I heard was right. Luckily, I was at work through all this, so, like, I'd get a call and I'd just work and then go back to watch the pay-per-view and going, good lord, this is the drizzling shits. Yeah, and again, that pay-per-view seemed to have, like, the similar audio issues going on, but I don't know, man. I don't know. But anyways, that's all I got this week. You got anything else you want chitty about?
One more thing.
Yeah.
I will bring up CM Punk one more time this week.
Oh, go ahead.
Because we haven't talked about him in ages.
Yeah, absolutely.
The WWE did their
top 100
moments of Raw.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch the stuff that was on the network, but I watched what they aired on TV. I guess it was after SmackDown last week or Raw.
Yeah, they did the top 25. Yeah, where they just counted down the top 25 moments. I watched that myself.
I was 100% shocked that the pipe bomb was the number two moment on Raw.
Me too. I did not think that that was even going to make the list. Like, I thought for sure, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't see the stuff that was on the network, so I don't know from 100 down to 25. But I was like, oh, no, there's no way that they're going to mention, you know. But, you know, especially once, you know, you get to three, then like, oh, here comes the number two moment. I'm like, not a chance, but there it was.
Dude, the fact that the number two moment was that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, though, it really did change a lot of stuff.
Oh, hell yeah, it did.
You know, I mean, of course, the number one moment's the beer truck, because that's all anyone ever talks about.
I know, but I wasn't even a big fan of that one.
Yeah. I think the milk truck should have been number one.
No, I don't think that should have been either. I guess number one, like, I was surprised. All right, so just number 25 was Mae Young going through a table. Number 24 is X-Pac beating Razor Ramon. I agree, you know.
Which, yeah. How was that only 24, though?
Yeah, well, this one to me is kind of surprising how this was only 23. Vince McMahon introduces Eric Bischoff as the Raw GM.
Oh, yeah.
That should have been much higher on the list. Another thing that should have been much higher on the list, the Raw Nitro simulcast. How is that not the greatest moment in Raw, where Raw defeats Nitro?
Because it didn't have a beer truck?
Fair enough. 21 was Mike Tyson facing off with Stone Cold. 20 was The Rock, This Is Your Life. Number 19 was when the Triple H married Stephanie instead of Test, yeah. You know, so whatever. Number 18 was the Festival of Friendship, which I was surprised because it just happened last February.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they thought that was better than the Rock and Mankind one.
Yeah, agreed. Edge's farewell, announcing his retirement, that makes sense. That was a big moment.
Yeah.
Number 16 was Silence is Deafening. That's what they're calling this one. That's when Triple H interrupts the returning Undertaker to set up their WrestleMania match in 2011.
Yeah, they just kind of look at each other. Yeah. And look at the poster.
Yeah, that was a really cool moment.
Yep.
Number 15 is Bedpan McMahon. So that's obviously when Austin attacked McMahon with the bedpan. Number 14 is Shane O'Mac is back. And I
don't get it.
Okay, first of all, I can't believe that's already 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of surprising. This February would be 2 years ago. But yeah, I don't think it should have been up that high. Number 13 was the charismatic Swanton Bomb. So Jeff Hardy coming off, I think, the Titantron onto somebody. Onto Randy Orton or somebody. Number 12, DX invades WCW. Blah, blah. Number 11, Brock Lesnar returns in 2012. He walked to the ring and he F5'd John Cena. I don't get it. Number 10, it just says the draft lottery. And I think this is the one where they had the highlight reel. Yeah, they had the highlight reel. And they introduced John Cena as the number one pick to Raw. And he was on SmackDown as their champion.
Yes.
Again, I don't see the... Yeah. Number 9, Mankind wins the title in January 4th, 1999. I agree with that one. That was a huge moment.
Yep.
And then it's apparently the Women's Evolution begins with Trish Stratus versus Lita in the main event in 2004. So, I can go with that one.
Absolutely. It's fantastic.
They just had a, you know, 13-year delay after that or whatever it was. 12-year delay to step two. And then number 7 is when Seth Rollins turned on Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
There's no way that that's a bigger moment than half of that other stuff.
Oh, number 6 is when Roman Reigns declared it was his yard now after WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, so congratulations. Yep. Don't care.
Number 5 is when the Steve Austin stunned McMahon for the first time. That makes sense.
Yep.
Number 4 was Chris Jericho's debut. That makes sense. That was a huge moment in 99. Number 3 is the Occupy Raw with Daniel Bryan and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Number 2 is CM Punk's pipe bomb. I can't disagree with that whatsoever. But again, I can't believe that was number 2.
Yeah. And during the Raw 25, there were a couple clips of CM Punk that they showed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like, they're not you know, I mean, he's been gone for 5 years.
They're not Chris Benoit-ing him.
No, but I mean, listen, he didn't murder his family.
I know.
Just quit company.
Right. But we haven't really seen hide nor hair of him since then, you know. And then number one was the Austin beer truck, which, okay.
Yeah.
But.
Now, do you have the whole list in front of you?
No, I don't. Oh, I just have the top 25.
I'm going to have to go look it up because the, it was me, Austin. That, like, I figured that would have been way up there. Like, how is The Undertaker not, like, 90% of that top 25?
Yeah. I'm sure it's in the top 100 somewhere, but.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh. Yeah, like, there's a lot of weird stuff on there that you'd think that, like, why Rollins turning on him or Reigns saying, this is
my yard, no. And then he sets the microphone down. I think part of that has to do with I hate Roman Reigns so much.
Yeah, but like, how is that a big moment?
I don't think it is.
The big moment was WrestleMania the night before.
Right.
You know? I mean, and Ziggler winning the belt the night after WrestleMania when he cashed in on Del Rio, that had to have been in the top 25. How is that not? Like, that crowd in New York went freaking insane.
Yep.
Or maybe it was in New Jersey. Were they at the Meadowlands or were they at the Garden? I don't remember.
I don't recall either, but yeah, you're right. That was crazy. And it was awesome. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That should have been up there as well. So.
Yeah, but besides that, I'm all good.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we got a good episode here in the can.
Yeah, maybe.
Eh, who knows? But, all right, cool. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm on the Twitter at SuperstarML.
I am on the Twitter at Aaron Esbell.
The show is...
God, it's been so long, I don't even remember.
Thousand Holds Pod?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, on the Twitter and the Facebook's podcast, Thousand Holds. Hey, go check out my blog, therustlinginsomniac.com, because it's my blog, and I want you to go read it. I post good stuff on there. So.
Yeah.
I guess that's you it. Right, thanks, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm not having it.
Fair enough.